we offer a warm welcome to each of you from Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry on this second Sunday in Advent. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service today. Information on how to order tapes, CDs, or printed copies of today's sermon will be given at the end of the program. We invite you to tune in to this radio station at this time every Sunday for worship with us. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
When you look at the manger scene and see the baby Jesus, what thoughts go through your mind? We're going to talk about that in this sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit, and open up this great Christmas gospel for us. O Lord, sometimes it can be so familiar that we really fail to see its power. We understand, Heavenly Father, that we can know the facts, but still not know the Christ. And so we pray, Holy Spirit, that you will take those facts and work them in our hearts and minds to the place that we may say, truly, I know the Christ. Hear our prayer that we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Hear the word of God as it is recorded in the first chapter of the Gospel of St. Matthew, beginning with verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said to the prophet, the virgin will be with child, and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Here ends the reading of this part of God.
Oh.
friends in Christ. When you look at the manger scene and see the baby Jesus, what thoughts go through your mind? You may say, well, in all honesty, Pastor, if you want to know, I don't give it much thought. It isn't that I don't believe it, but it has become so repetitious that it's a baby and I know what's behind it all. For example, we get a lot of cards, as most people do, and some of our friends will greet us with Santa Claus, some with Rudolph, and then our more religious relatives or friends will send us a card that depicts the manger at Bethlehem. I know there's a lot of meaning behind it, but boy, in this busy time of the year, I just have to admit I don't give it much thought. Others may say, well, I did happen to pick up one of those cards, and I did look at it, and I did reminisce, and I did have thoughts like, it's a nice place, isn't it, to have the Son of God born. Why could it not have been in an inn? Or you might have said, here we see the picture of the birth of one of the greatest men who has ever lived in history. One of the great religious leaders, the founder of a religion, and a person whose teachings we certainly ought to take seriously. It would be a better world if we did. But I do hope and pray that there are some of you who would say, oh, it's far more than that. For when I look at that picture, I realize it is God who has come to this earth in the person of a human being. I learned that in Sunday school. It was repeated again and again in our home. Well, I tell you, friend, this sermon is prepared to help you take a few minutes in this Advent season and give some serious thought as to who the Christ child is and whose birth we are really celebrating these days. Who is this Christ who lay there in Bethlehem's manger? This is a controversial question. It shouldn't be, but it is. If you go back to the Bible, you find that there truly Jesus is presented as God. Let me give you a few examples. Isaiah the prophet said, He is the mighty God. Matthew quotes Isaiah and says, The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Those were the words that came to Joseph when he was going to divorce her quietly. Don't do that, Joseph. This is something unusual. There has never been a birth such as this before. It is true that Mary is still the virgin, and that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. For she is going to be the mother of the God incarnate. Now that's a little deeper than what most people think of when they are celebrating Christmas. St. John, in his Gospel, the very first chapter, verse 1 and on, says, In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made, and without him nothing was made. And then later on he says, the Word became flesh and it dwelt among us. In other words, John is saying that God was in the beginning, and then there came the time when he entered into history in the person of Jesus Christ, and he walked among us. Now then you can have the testimony of Jesus himself regarding his own person. He said, I and the Father are one. Here you begin to understand the teaching of the Trinity. We have one God. He has revealed himself in three ways, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You go on and Jesus says, He who has seen me has seen the Father. I'm not just an ordinary person. The Father and I are one. On that day of the Ascension, when he was standing there with his disciples, he said, Now look, go and make disciples of all nations by baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teach them all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always to the end of the age. In other words, Jesus is giving us the first insight into that Trinitarian formula. God is one, and he has revealed himself in the form of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. As the person of Jesus was discussed through the years, some began to scratch their heads and say, but how can that be? And to really explain the Trinity from that day to this, we are not able to do. We simply accept it as it is. But not all were ready to do that, and there was one by the name of Arius. He lived from 250 to 336. He was a heretic in the church. He came forth with teachings like this. Jesus was divine, but he was not equal with God. There is a real difference, Arius went on to say, between God the Father and Jesus, who is God the Son. Fine, he is divine, but he is not equal to God, Arius was saying. What's the matter with you in teaching something like that? He went on to say, only God the Father is a real divine being. And so he said, worship Jesus without recognizing him as God. Well, he got his followers because it was quite rational and they could understand that a little bit. But there was a lot of commotion that was going on in the Roman Empire. And the new Christian by the name of Constantine, who was the emperor at the time, said, this has got to stop. So Arius was excommunicated from the church, and then he was driven into exile. But Arius did not go willingly, nor without commotion, and it was not long before Constantine finally said, we've got to have some more on this matter. He called together 300 bishops to meet in the city of Nicaea. And there they were to give a creedal statement as to what Christianity really is. And a part of that creedal statement regards the person of Jesus Christ who relates into the Advent and the Christmas message. One of the great leaders was Athanasius. He was the enemy of Arius. And he said, what Arius has done is wrong. It does away, it destroys Christianity. Then Athanasius came out with a strong statement saying that Jesus is God. He is equal with the Father. He and the Father are one. And so after meeting, for I'm sure some time, they penned that creedal statement known as the Nicene Creed. And this is used often in many of our churches of a doctrinal nature. Let me read it to you. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made, for us and for our salvation. He came down from heaven by the power of the Holy Spirit. He became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. Just take a look quickly at that creedal statement. And we do not worship the creedal statement, but it is a statement summarizing the truths of God's holy word. Jesus is the only Son of God. There is a sense in which you and I can say we are a son, a child, a daughter of God. But he is the only son. He was eternally begotten. That is, he has always been. He is true God with true God. He has been begotten. He has not been made. You and I have been created. God has created us. Not so with Jesus, because Jesus is God. He is of one being with the Father. And through him all things were made. Isn't that what John's gospel said? For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. And we know how he did that. Through his suffering and his death at the cross of Calvary as a payment for our sins. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. That is, my friend, the Nicene Creed, one of the great creeds of the church. But Arius was not done. And soon his followers began to reduce Jesus to less than the Bible presents him as being. And his numbers grew, and Constantine died, and those who took over after him began to wonder if Arius was not right, and it's continued on down to this very day. And therefore, it is so necessary that the contents of this creed be taught today when people are so utterly confused about what they believe regarding Jesus, and so can easily make him just another religious leader who is put in the list with those who have started other religions. But the truth of the teaching that Jesus Christ is God, and it is so important that that be taught, but the truth of this teaching will never be realized until we have experienced that Jesus is our mighty God, experiencing it. And we experience this only when we see how weak we are, how feeble we are, how unable we are to cope with the difficulties of the days and the problems which confront us. I can't do it. I need help. And it's at this time that the Advent message comes and says, you have help. You can be adequate because God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit dwells in your heart. And he will strengthen you and comfort you and forgive you and assure you that you are his for all eternity if you but trust in him. But to say, you know, friend, that I am helpless, that is one of the most difficult, if not the most difficult thing in the world. It is much easier for me to say that I am a sinner than to say that I am helpless. For if I am a sinner, maybe I can do something that will make matters better. But if I'm helpless, then you put me completely out of the picture, and that's where Christianity does put us. It puts us out of the picture and says there is nothing that you can do to contribute to that salvation that is done by God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the mighty God, the God incarnate. That's who has done it. That's what Christianity is teaching. We're at the core of the whole matter in this message today. Listen to the Bible. Here is Peter. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides. Did Peter know something about that? Oh, he was going to serve the Lord Jesus, but he couldn't even get by that night when our Lord was being delivered up to be crucified. And he denied him three times. But it wasn't very many days after that this same person, now broken, but lifted up by God Almighty in the person of Jesus Christ, was able to stand in Jerusalem and say to his enemies, even though they were ready to take his life, I stand with Christ. There is salvation in no other name than in the name of Jesus. Are we supposed to obey you? He said to those Jewish leaders. We cannot obey you. We must obey God rather than you. What a message that is for us today, that we may remain clear and strong in who Jesus is. and not succumb to a message that will be more acceptable to our culture. That some of these learned so-called people of the day will no longer call us completely idiot. No, we stand there and say, this is what the Word of God says, this is what the confessions of the church say, and this is what we say, that Jesus Christ is God. Listen to the psalmist. If you're old, this really has something to say to us. He prays, do not cast me away when I am old. Do not forsake me when my strength is gone. We know what it is as we get older and the strength begins to fail us. God, you be my strength. Maybe until then we thought that we could do it ourselves, but now we have come to understand that we can't do it ourselves. And here's God, the babe of Bethlehem's manger, the mighty God, who says, I stand with you. And he utters these words to the prophet Isaiah, so do not fear. Whether you're young or whether you're old, whether you're faced with all kinds of difficulties, don't fear, for I am with you. Don't be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Notice that. And I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Yeah, whether we face tomorrow wondering about all that will happen, or whether we are a person who have just experienced some terrible failure in life, you feel it's a failure, God is with you. And he'll pick up your pieces wherever they are and put them together. He will say, through the merits of Christ, I grant you the forgiveness of your sin. Now let us walk together. This is the second Sunday in Advent. We're only a few days away from Christmas. Let God prepare your heart to know that this babe in the manger is God who has come to this world to suffer and to die for your sins and for mine. And then as he lives in our hearts, whether the days be good or bad, we know that we do not walk on our own strength, but we know that God, who is a wonderful counselor, is also the mighty God to strengthen us on the way. Amen. Father in heaven, we know that this is a joyous season of the year, and so we thank you that once again we can celebrate Christmas. But we also know that it is a time where hearts can be heavy. And so we pray that you will come to each one whose heart is heavy, who is groping with these eternal matters, who still does not know for sure who Jesus is. Come and remind that person, and remind all of us in our own ways, that you are the God incarnate, that you have come to not only walk with us here, but to take us safely home to heaven. May that be our comfort and our strength, and Lord, may we bring this message of the newborn babe to a world who needs it so badly. For it is in his name we pray. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of Christian Crusaders. We pray that the message and music in today's service have brightened your day and brought you comfort and peace. Christian Crusaders is a nonprofit ministry supported entirely by the gifts and prayers of our listening family. As the year comes to a close, we remind you that your gift to our ministry is tax deductible. We ask for your prayers as well as your financial support. For your convenience, we are now able to take credit card donations by phone or mail. Cassette tapes, CDs, or printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. Our mailing address is Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Our toll-free number is 1-888-MY-FAITH or 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. Christian Crusaders invite you to find out more about our ministry on the internet. Our website is there to serve you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Our web address is christiancrusaders.org. That's christiancrusaders, all one word, .org. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, Pastor Emeritus of Nazareth Lutheran Church, Cedar Falls, Iowa, and radio pastor of Christian Crusaders for the last 41 years.